Now would be a good time to go to Sunday school if you'd like to go. That's your, you can leave if you'd like to go to Sunday school. Children, that is. So we're about to embark on a three-week journey into the Sermon on the Mount. That's right. For the next 3 weeks, you all are going to hear a sermon on a sermon. That's going to be great, isn't it? In Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount takes up 3 full chapters. Does that make it even more exciting? We are not going to get out of chapter 5, though. I'm not sure if that's good news or not good news. I don't know. In Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is also Jesus' first public act of ministry. And this is significant, because in each of the Gospels, there's something very distinctive about the first act of public ministry that Jesus does. So given that the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' first act of public ministry in Matthew, this gives us an indication of what Matthew wants us to understand about who Jesus is and what being a disciple is all about. Now, pretty much all theologians consider the Sermon on the Mount the core of Jesus' teaching. John Wesley called the Sermon on the Mount the sum of all true Christianity. Mohandas Gandhi said that when he read the Sermon on the Mount, it just went straight to his heart. He is also very famous for saying, "Your Christian's Jesus is really great. Too bad more of you can't be more like him." Yeah, that's because the Sermon on the Mount is the cornerstone, really, of our Christian faith. Another commentator that I just read this week compared the Sermon on the Mount to the U.S. Constitution, which is pretty poignant considering the times that we are in right now. He also went on to say that the Beatitudes served as sort of a preamble to this constitution of Christianity. And that's where we are going to start right now, today, with the Beatitudes. Beatitude is a Latin word for blessed. For blessed is how we usually read it. Now, to give you all a little bit of Bible trivia, because I don't know if that's going to be a game getting played this afternoon or not, but the next time you sit down with your friends to play Bible trivia, this might be something you'd like to know. In Matthew, there are 9 Beatitudes that are told at the very beginning of the 3 chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke also has the Beatitudes, but in Luke, there are only 4 Beatitudes, and they are told not in the Sermon on the Mount, but in the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus comes down to a level place to give this sermon with the Beatitudes. And in Luke, the Sermon on the Plain only lasts 32 verses, not 3 full chapters. So there's just a little bit of interesting trivia that has nothing to do with my sermon, but it's fun. So blessed or blessing is a word that we use a lot in our culture. It's even a hashtag on Twitter, a lot in our culture. So I want you all to take a moment and think about times or situations that have maybe led you to either say to yourself or to someone else or led you to feel blessed. Think about the ways you think about being blessed. Now I want you to take a moment, turn to someone near you, and share that with them. Just a minute or two. Talk amongst yourselves. How do you talk about being blessed? Sometimes it helps to say it. That's why I'm having this. Thank you for talking. You may not have heard me say this. Whoa. Thank you for talking. I asked you to do that because sometimes you can think it in your head, but then to say it to someone else is a little different, or to hear someone what someone else says is also really helpful, I think. And like I said, we toss this word around a lot, so I think it's important that we think about blessed or blessing. Now, I'm going to tell you my thoughts on it. And essentially, when I think about blessing, and more pertinent to today, I think about the Beatitudes. And I think of the Beatitudes as a sort of mixed blessing, if you ask me. They are Jesus' words that are all about blessings. So I want to take them seriously. But the way we talk about blessing and blessed in our culture, I think that we get the words overused a lot, kind of like love. We'll say, oh, I just love your sweater. Do I really love someone's sweater? And I think the same thing about blessed. We tend to name things that make us feel happy and fortunate, things that make us feel secure and successful. We name those as blessings, right? We are blessed with a happy, healthy family. We'll say we're blessed with good friends, blessed with a good job, a decent house, blessed with good grades at school. Now, I grant you, these are all really great and good things, things for which we can feel grateful, right? But think a moment. If this is the way we or our culture talks about blessings, what about everybody else? What about those of us with poor family relationships? What about those of us who have no job or a really lousy job that we're stuck at? What about those of us in a housing crisis? Or those of us who are struggling at school or bullied at school? Are we unblessed? I hate to say the word cursed. Blessed turns into a comparison. Comparing what we have to what someone else doesn't have, or vice versa. Hence, hashtag blessed. So let me pause here a moment and read the Beatitudes and invite you all to think about the ways we talk about being blessed. Think about those ways and compare them to the ways we hear Jesus talking about being blessed. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Did you hear anything about happiness? Security? Success? Those whom Jesus names as blessed do not have happiness, security, or success written on their lives. Poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the persecuted. Blessing is a long way from happiness or security here. Can you imagine if God blessed America the way God blesses these things? With our common understanding of what it means to be blessed today, that the good things in our lives are blessings, the Beatitudes end up getting turned into a prescription for happiness. They end up being practical advice for successful living. The be happy attitudes is what Robert Schuller called them a couple of decades ago. If we behave the Beatitudes tell us to, then we will be blessed. Whenever we do the things the Beatitudes describe, then we will be blessed. Follow Jesus' advice equals hashtag blessed, not stressed. But here's the thing. The Beatitudes are not suggestions or instructions for living a more satisfied and fulfilled life. They are not commandments which we need to obey. They are not telling us we should feel blessed or happy when our life circumstances are nowhere near happiness. The Beatitudes are declarations. They declare what already is, not what could be, should be, or will be. They are in the indicative, present tense voice for all you grammarians out there. Blessed are the meek. They declare the unconditional regard of God to those people and places and situations that don't evoke feelings of happiness, security, or success. What we name as blessed. And more than just an individual experience of blessedness, the Beatitudes declare the new ways that we are drawn into relationship with one another and with God now that God's realm has drawn near. Remember, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's all plural in there. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and Matthew is writing to the new community of Christians. So the Beatitudes declare to us a vision. The Beatitudes declare to us a vocation of community, of a world that is aligned with God's concerns, aligned with God's values. They declare to us a community shaped by God's values of poverty of spirit, meekness, mercy, and a hunger for righteousness. And this, all of this, is a flat-out reversal of all that our culture declares is blessed. So here's what we have got to get straight about Jesus' opening words to his ministry here in Matthew. This is what we have got to get straight about the course he is charting for discipleship in community. The Beatitudes declare. They are declarations, not suggestions or advice. The Beatitudes declare, but they do not declare that we are an organization designed to help you live your best life now. They do not declare that we gather together on Sunday mornings with the aim of reducing stress, although that could be a side effect. And they do not declare that we are here to provide a ticket to the place that will secure you a place in heaven. The Beatitudes declare what is already irrefutably true about the Christian community, that we gather and live and learn and serve together based on the firm and certain hope that meekness is the way of God and poverty of spirit is the way to God, that righteousness and peace will finally prevail, and that God's future that is already here in our midst, God's future is a time of mercy, not cruelty. It is our vocation to embody this truth to our neighborhood and the world. It is our vocation to embody this firm and certain hope to our neighborhood and the world. Blessed are those who live this way now, even when such a life seems so foolish. For we will be upheld by God through all things and in all ways.